Good morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds draw us nearer to one another and to you, O Lord, as we seek justice and peace in community. Well, this morning it's my pleasure to be able to share with you a few words about the work of PWSND, Presbyterian World Service and Development, which is the development and relief agency of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. In the scripture that we just heard, Jesus appears for a third time and a last time to the disciples, and they were going fishing and had caught nothing yet. And Jesus asked them to cast their net, and they caught more fish than they could pull in, 153 big fish, and they shared bread and fish. It's obvious that Jesus provides us with abundance, and we are called to share that abundance. Jesus asked them if they loved him, and Simon answered very quickly, "Yes, Master, you know I love you." And what did Jesus answer to that? He said, "Feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my lambs." Jesus asked again, "Do you love me?" And he said again, "You know I love you." So he said, "Tend my sheep and feed my sheep." This is very similar to when Jesus was asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he answered, "To love your God." And he said, "To love your neighbor as yourself." This is very, very similar, a teaching that he gives. And those are some of the last words that the disciples heard from Jesus after his resurrection. And that's the work of Presbyterian World Service and Development, to shepherd, tend, and feed the Lord's sheep. And with over 800 million people in the world who are food insecure, we have our work cut out for us. PWSND was set up by the Presbyterian Church in Canada as its development, relief, and refugee agency to bring about a more compassionate, sustainable, and just world. We live in a part of the world where there is peace and abundance in so many ways, and we are called to share that bounty with those who are less fortunate. The Presbyterian Church in Canada established this ministry because it recognizes that it's just as important to love your neighbor as it is to love God. And our neighbor may be the neighbor down the street, it may be the neighbor in South Sudan, or the neighbor in Malawi, or the neighbor in Afghanistan. And as a matter of fact, showing love for your neighbor is a strong expression of loving God and being connected to God, the infinite source of love. PWSND's vision is to bring abundant life to those who are suffering because they are afflicted by disasters or because they're afflicted by poverty as a result of the imperfect systems of our humanity, which has so far prevented fair and just access to the bounty of the earth's wealth. Peace, as I said to the children, is the foundation of our lives' enjoyment, work, home, education, healthcare, and all of the leisures that we enjoy. And when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his death, his first words were, "Peace be with you." Those are very important words, and that's why every week we share the peace of God and the peace of Jesus between us. And we have to think how important that peace is and how important it is when we compare it to places where peace is not existing. Jesus wanted his disciples to be agents of peace. He gave them the Holy Spirit, and he said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." It's hard for us to forgive those who promote war and conflict, but the only way we can reach peace is by forgiving and helping those to see the light that Jesus has given us to share. This year, over 68 million people have had to leave their homes because of conflict, war, and insecurity. That's the largest number of displaced people in the history of humankind. One could think of this as the result of the sin of humankind, because all these conflicts can and should be avoided. As Christians, we are called to be agents of peace. Jesus wanted peace to be with us, and Jesus himself was referred to as the Prince of Peace. In Canada, we more often than not take peace for granted. When we have peace, we can have universal education for all, health care, flourishing businesses, open gardens and national parks, freedom of movement, freedom of religion. We can have clean drinking water flowing from our taps in every house and access to food in abundance. But peace is where everything begins. And Jesus called us to be compassionate and forgiving in spite of these conflicts that exist everywhere. This morning, I want to share a few stories. Of course, the work of PWSND is very extensive, and I cannot go through everything and all the people that we reach out who are very thankful for all the support that you provide. But I would like to share a little bit the stories of some people whose lives are changed by our work and by your support. Let me talk to you a little bit first about Sarah. If I turn this on, that'll help. So I'm going to start with South Sudan. South Sudan is Africa's youngest country. It's been experiencing civil war for many years, and people are fighting over the control of resources at the expense of the civilian population. And Sarah comes from a town called Lier. She has three children, and she lives in a house that looks like this. Mud walls, thatched roof. Sarah's husband died 3 years ago in the conflict, so she's a widow and has three children. She was still able to get by off the little piece of land that they have in Lier, where she could grow some food and had a few goats that helped to be used a little bit like a savings account. But she was already struggling, and her youngest child, Martha, was already severely undernourished. Early last year, some armed men came into her town of Lier and started setting fire to houses, stealing the goats, and assaulting women. So Sarah was very scared. She told her children that they were going to have to leave to find a safer place, although she had absolutely no idea where that would be. She certainly knew that she couldn't stay at home. So then she packed her things. I don't think she had a fancy backpack like the one I brought in this morning. So she took whatever she could. She carried her smallest child in her arms and started walking. In Canada, when we have evacuations like in Alberta with the fires, what we experience is big traffic jams because everybody's trying to leave in their cars. But in South Sudan, most people don't have cars, so people just start walking. They walk for hours and hours, walk for the whole day. Eventually, Sarah had to find a place to just lie down for the night and hope that she wouldn't come across any armed people who might assault her. The next day, she started walking again the whole day with her three children and found a place to rest. And then the third day is finally where she found a place where they were distributing food and she could feel safe. And this food was being distributed by the World Food Program, but also with the Canadian Food Grains Bank project supported by PWSND. Now, this was quite a bit of relief for her, but at that point, her little child, Martha, was so undernourished that she couldn't just eat the food that was being distributed. So she needed therapeutic feeding, and at this place, she was getting access to the plumpy nut that I was showing to the children earlier. And with this little package of therapeutic food, which is comparatively more expensive than the normal food, but helps to save the lives of children like Martha. And after a few weeks, her youngest child was saved, and Sarah could be there in a safe environment waiting for the time when she could go back home and start her normal life again. Unfortunately, those times can take many months, sometimes years, and people are displaced due to conflict For example, we also think of Lebanon and the Syrian refugees who have been there now for a few years. In that time, we need, as a humanitarian community, to continue to respond and help them out, to help them to get through these difficult times. So that's the challenge that we face, is that year after year, how do we continue to support people in refugee camps in Lebanon or displaced people in South Sudan? But we try, and we're lucky that we are members of the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Here we can see Sarah, and we can see the food distribution that happened through the Canadian Food Grains Bank. I'll talk a little bit more about the Canadian Food Grains Bank, but I want to say in South Sudan, we don't only do food assistance, but we also help in other ways. Through the ACT Alliance, we are able to provide clean water, because what happens is that people often have a challenging time finding clean water to drink. And if you don't have clean water, you would get sick, and it's a vicious circle. You might die from it too. So we distribute water purification tablets for use, so that when people find doubtful sources of water, they are able to treat it and have clean water. We also will try to provide assistance in the form of wells when people go back to their communities, and we can have a more longer-term perspective on things. But this is possible through our alliance with a network of churches through the ACT Alliance. I want to talk a bit about Malawi, because Malawi is a very important country for Presbyterians. The Presbyterian Church in Malawi is the largest church there. So unlike in Canada, when you go to Malawi, people will assume that you're Presbyterian, because that's the main church in the country. But also, Canadian missionaries have been there for a long time, and the Church of Scotland has been there for a long, long time. But having said that, why would Presbyterian World Service and Development be concerned about Malawi? It's not necessarily because they're Presbyterians there, but the reality of that country is that Malawi still ranks number 170 on the Human Development Index, which measures the quality of life of people. On the same index, Canada ranks at number 10. So we feel there's a very large gap still that needs to be filled. And although we have made some progress in various areas over the years, there's still a lot that needs to be done. Malawi, unfortunately, was affected very recently on March 15th by Cyclone Idai, which you might have seen on the news a little bit in the newspaper, the same that hit Mozambique. And those floods displaced thousands of families, and those families ended up in shelters such as these ones, where people wait. They have a roof over their head for a period of time. They have to figure out when they can go back to their village once the waters recede. So a lot of their houses have been washed away, because they're similar houses to what we saw in South Sudan. Mud walls, thatched roofs. When a big storm comes through, those houses pretty much melt away. So to rebuild the houses will be another challenge. But in the meantime, we are looking at providing assistance in various ways to these people. We have raised so far $120,000 from the Presbyterian constituency, and we are working through the Canadian Food Grains Bank to provide food assistance in this context, where funds are matched by the Canadian government. Very proud to say that we are now members of the Humanitarian Coalition, which is a coalition of organizations that include Oxfam, Oxfam Quebec, CARE, Save the Children, Islamic Relief, Canadian Lutheran World Relief, and now the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And therefore, as a member of the Canadian Food Grains Bank, we are also part of that humanitarian coalition. It's important for us because the Canadian government wants to work with very few actors and wants to work with trustworthy organizations. So when the Canadian government announces matching funds for a disaster, they will now provide these matching funds to the humanitarian coalition, which means that I'm proud to say that our project in Malawi to provide food assistance is the first project of the Canadian Food Grains Bank that is funded through the humanitarian coalition mechanisms with the matching funds from the Canadian government. So, yes, we already have matching funds from the Canadian government at the Canadian Food Grains Bank, but this is now even more than what we were able to do before. It also shows that the Canadian government sees the Christian response to hunger as one that is of high quality and just as good as responses done by other agencies out there. And we are, as churches sitting at the Canadian Food Grains Bank, we are able to multiply our funds 4 to 1 in most food assistance projects. And a lot has to do with the collaboration that happens between our denomination and 14 other denominations that sit around that table. We are able to respond in Syria even if we don't have a partner in Syria because we work through World Renew. And World Renew is able to provide assistance in Afghanistan through PWSND because we have a partner there, but they don't. And we share our resources this way and make a lot of projects happen. But in the end, you are the source of all of this work, and your donations are the seeds that PWSND uses to provide food, shelter, and primary health services in all of those situations. This is a picture of the members of the humanitarian coalition, with Minister Monsef in the middle. She's the new Minister for International Cooperation. And you see the directors of various organizations. This is the director of the Primates Fund from the Anglican Church. This is from the Adventist Development Relief Agency. Here is from the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, ERDO. I'm here. This is the director of the Humanitarian Coalition, and she's the director of Canadian Lutheran World Relief. And we were all there with the minister as she announced these matching funds for Cyclone Idai. I have mentioned quite a bit about this. I wanted to say that a little effort can go a long way. For example, a $50 donation can help to feed, can actually feed a family in South Sudan for a month and respond to their food needs for a month. But with the matching funds that we get at the Canadian Food Grains Bank, that same $50 will help to feed 5 families for a month because we get 4 to 1 matching. And when I think of how easily we can spend $50 to go out for a meal with a family or friends at a restaurant, we can also think of how much reach that same amount of money can have in the lives of people in crisis. So a small effort can make a very big difference. So humanitarian assistance is a very important piece, keeps people alive, but ultimately we are looking at trying to provide sustainable development and address the causes of poverty. I just want to say a couple of words about our maternal, newborn, and child health programming in Malawi, because of course life begins there with healthy mothers and healthy children. And we are in a program funded by the Canadian government where we can help women and children in Afghanistan and also in Malawi. And in Malawi, we can see the statistics of maternal mortality, which is 439 deaths per 100,000, whereas in Canada, the number is 8 deaths per 100,000. So that's why we work in Malawi, and that's how we're helping women to survive the whole process of childbirth. As for young children, in Malawi, 75 deaths per 1,000 live births. You know, we made progress because in 1980 it was 256. Now we're talking about only 77. But in Canada, only 5 children will die per 1,000 births under 5 years old. So we can see again, even though we make progress, we still have a lot of work to do. Here we can see a nurse in Malawi helping mothers who have their newborn children. They would have been accompanied from the time of being pregnant to have all the antenatal care that they need have healthy pregnancies, healthy deliveries, and then to work at the health of the young children by the promotion of breastfeeding. And I can say from my own experience here in Canada that to have the attention of, in our case, midwives, but also the hospital care and the emergency surgeries that we are able to get to save lives of mothers and children, that in a country like Malawi and Afghanistan, to help to promote access to these services is life-saving in so many cases. Here I am in Malawi with a member of our committee, Jeff Zakabe from Calgary, and we have the medical team at the hospital and at the Mbengweni Hospital in Malawi, and our local program team there too. So again, inspired by God's promise of abundant life, PWSND envisions a sustainable, compassionate, and just world. Today, I ask you to pray for our partners in Malawi, in South Sudan, in Syria, in Haiti, in Afghanistan. Pray to give them strength so that they can make a difference in the lives of those who are most affected by injustice. Pray also for PWSND and its staff and committee of volunteers so that they can continue to find the best ways to reach out in love to our neighbors in the world. I want to thank you for all that you already do in support of our ministry, and would like to close with a prayer, the prayer of St. Francis, which is a prayer for peace. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. And where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.